I'm Ashley.
And I'm officially on Christmas break.
And you're here with us on Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast. By the tone of our voice, guess who is not on Christmas break?
No, I still got 2 days. Well, 2 days, yeah, because it's Monday. I got Tuesday and I got Wednesday. So, but you Wednesday, we have our homerooms for the whole day. So I'm really excited because I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to read them the book, The Polar Express. And then we're going to watch the movie and compare the book and the movie. Still like, oh, it's holiday things, but it's still, you know, educational.
Yeah. Compare and contrast.
Yeah. Do a nice little Venn diagram. Who don't like a Venn die, you know?
Yeah. Nice.
Period. Period.
I love it. I love it.
It's going to be good. I mean, I have to figure out how to fill the rest of the day, but that'll take a major chunk because I think that movie is at least an hour and a half.
I think so, too. And then you can stretch out reading the book and having discussions. And
ooh, like a whole read aloud with questions.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about that creepy looking girl in the Polar Express because she is so scary. That little black girl. Like, they did her dirty. Cartoonism. They did her dirty. Why did they do her like that?
That honestly though, that whole movie and its graphics are a little creepy.
Oh yeah, but her, like when she's sitting on the train, that one, and she's like
slumped over.
Yes, and she looks scary as hell.
She does look so slumped over, and like it's like, baby, your posture.
Baby girl, you're young, okay? Yeah. You don't got these 33-year-old woman problems yet, okay? Sit up, baby.
So we're watching. We watched Klaus. And it's on Netflix. It's a great movie.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's about the mailman that is pretty much how Santa Claus got started.
Isn't it a scary movie?
No. It's not scary. But he gets sent to this town, and his dad was gonna cut him off if he didn't stamp 6,000 letters by the end of the year.
It's a cartoon, right?
Yes.
I did see that movie. Yeah, it was cute. I don't remember where I saw it, but I definitely saw it. And I was like, sir, you're not going to get all these letters stamped.
No, because this town hates each other.
Yes.
It's really cute. I really like it.
Oh, okay. That's cute. The history of the Santa Claus.
Yeah, because all of the classic movies, I know that they are doing it because it's holiday season, but all of them, it's like they strip them from the streaming platforms around November, and now you have to pay for them. Elf, Home Alone, Love Actually,
anything.
Die Hard, all of the Grinches, all the Grinches you have to pay for now.
You know, now I have to look and see because I don't want to rent it, but luckily I use my parents' like login for all of their like HBO Max, Cinemax, Starz, Showtime. So I'm hoping it's on one of those because I know last year for Christmas time, we watched The Polar Express the day before we actually went on the Polar Express to see Santa, and Twinkle brought them the book and brought them pajamas and brought them their tickets to the train. So
that's adorable.
Twinkle put in that work last year. I feel like she's not oomphing the way she oomphed last year, but she's still here and the girls are still equally obsessed with her. So that's all that matters. That's all that matters. She still loves them. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's the plans. Probably do more because I do have some kids who don't celebrate, so I'm wondering if that's going to be an issue for them to watch The Polar Express. I'm hoping it's not, because if I have to nix that, I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Right. I made a bopper flop because, you know, I like to make those. Yes. And I mean, I obviously had to, and it's a Christmas edition, but I had to put in the description, like, I know Christmas is not for everyone, so please do not be, like, offended by this. Like, only buy this if this is something you can do in your classrooms.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But then I saw another girl on TikTok. She made a bopper flop.
I did see that, and I was like,
And it's really cute, but the comments, oh, my gosh. So in the comments, they were like, you do know Drake is Jewish. She had put a Santa Claus hat on Drake.
Okay.
And
well,
they were like, Drake is Jewish. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And so she like went and like changed her whole thing.
Okay. I mean, I appreciate her for doing that. I like that she was able to, you know, correct her quote unquote mistake. Cause I really don't think she was intentionally trying to offend people. You know what I mean? It was just.
No. And I mean, if you don't listen to Drake or know him, like I think that I vaguely knew that Drake was Jewish, but I grew up watching Drake on Degrassi, 100. As did you.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just started Degrassi again the other night when James was not at home, and he comes back and he's like, "What are you watching? This is horrible acting." And
I'm like, my God. Do you remember when I started it? And I was like, Brooke. Yes.
The acting is so bad. It's and I was so like, horrible. Did you know? I was like, look, honey, look, that's Drake right there. He goes, yeah, he does kind of look like him. I went, no.
But it
that's literally Drake.
Is him.
No, not looks like him. That is him.
Oh, gosh, Degrassi. I feel like I got to pick it back up because I was going strong and then I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like this.
I will tell you though, when Sean was my first crush, and when he popped back on, my heart skipped a little doo-doo.
Not a little doo-doo.
Doo-doo. Because he was like my first crush. Like I thought Sean, maybe that's why my picker, when I picked boys in the past, I think that's why it was broken, is because I picked boys like Sean because of Degrassi.
He's such a bad boy. He's such a bad boy. He's not a good influence. He's not good. Well, he was bad, but then Emma, you know, smoothed him out.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, what a good show. Like back then I really like rode hard for Degrassi and really thought it was a 10 out of 10 would recommend. But watching that as an adult, it was like, dang, I really enjoyed this.
Yep, you sure did.
Yikes on tykes on bikes.
Yep, and Paige is a little thoughty thought.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
When she got, what's the other girl? When she got her drunk at the party at school.
Oh, yep. Yes. I just watched that episode literally the other night.
Yes, and then they had the little dance group. Just to be what I can be.
It's really bad, but it's like so bad you keep watching.
Yeah, you're like sucked in. It's like a black hole. It's like, yo, it's like a car accident. Like when you wreck past, you're like, oh, everybody's stopping to look. And then you're like, well, everybody else slow down. Let me just take a little peek.
Let me see what happened over there.
And it's like, oh, then you keep going. Yep. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, we don't have anything for you guys. No. It's almost Christmas, so we don't really have a whole lot of announcements. Like we have some things we're going to try in 2023.
Oh my gosh, you know what we need to talk about that I completely forgot?
What?
That Twitch passed away today.
He did. Oh my God. I've literally been watching that story all day. Like that is the saddest thing.
Oh, like RIP to him and like keeping his family and my thoughts and prayers.
Ellen,
like,
and your thoughts and prayers. Yeah.
They just celebrated their anniversary like 3 days ago.
Yep, that is I just saw that too.
Heart.
Well, it just goes to show you don't know what anyone's going through.
100%.
You know, several of my friends have posted today, like, it's the ones that are always happy and always smiling. Because, you know, I went to his TikTok, obviously, just like everyone else did today. And his last video was of him dancing.
Yep, 2 days ago.
And it was a really, like, he was had this huge, beautiful, bright smile on his face. And I feel for his kids and I feel for his wife and just the fact that she knew something was wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say that as well. Like she was like, he left without his car and that is not like him. So like something is wrong.
I just, you just don't know what's going through someone's brain. And I don't know. It's horrible.
Yeah, it really is. Because you would have never expected. That's just like with Robin Williams.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have talked about that today. So on social media, I've seen a lot of people say, well, you know, look at how shocked we were with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. He was fighting battles that no one knew about. And we don't know what Twitch was going through mentally.
No.
And I remember him on Ellen.
Yeah. He was great. His dance move was like, wow.
Yeah.
How do you
They welcomed so many influencers into their homes. Like they did collabs with Dixie and Addison Rae and the Holden Holder boy, whatever his name is, Taylor Holden. And they just opened up their home to so many people and the lives that he touched.
Yes.
It was really hard to see that too.
Yeah, when I got my group chat texted about it, I was like, nah, this is a lie. No, this is not true.
Mm-mm. Well, I thought it at first I saw it and I didn't look to see who posted it. And I was like, oh, it's one of those fake news things or whatever. And or it's just clickbait. So they get you to click on it. But then I looked and it was my morning show that I listened to that actually posted it. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. It's just RIP to him and keep his family in your thoughts and prayers. Because that's got to be rough for them. It's got to be rough. I can't even imagine.
I know. It's hard to even put it in words.
Yeah. But I guess we should get into the Estudiante Estrella.
Yep. I mean, we do have to keep going.
Yeah. So our Estudiante Estrella today is TJ Stoy 1.
Toy Story. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, because every time I look at it, I want to say story. And I'm like, that's why I took it. I was like, Stoy. Yeah. So Stoy. TJ Stoy 1. And their review is titled Love in all capital letters. And it's clearly 5 stars.
Beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep. And pre-K pause, because it is not that we are only reading 5-star reviews. It's just that that's all that we've gotten except for a... Did we get a 4-star
one? Yeah, the 4-star. Yeah.
The 4-star one.
Yeah.
Which we'll probably read later.
Yeah, one of these days we'll read it.
When we're feeling spicy.
When we're feeling a little spicy. So their review reads, love both of your energies. I just found you guys this week and have been binging the episodes. Love. Most importantly, though, thank you both for being so amazing for your students. Heart emoji.
Aww.
Yeah. I mean, we are pretty great to our students, huh?
Yeah, we really are. Like, you know, it's always when you're having those moments of doubt, because yesterday we were doing algebra tiles.
I don't even know what that is. So kudos to them.
So
for
like they
that.
Solve equations using like tiles, like manipulatives. Like I was teaching using manipulatives.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it was one of my lower kids, and just every time they would speak up and say, it's 4 or the answer's 3. And this like seeing them do the tiles and making the connection, I was like, this is what I went into this for.
Yep.
Like, this is the moment. The fact that I have told this child for the last 3 problems that he's right, you know, and that's something I don't get to say a ton, but also they don't speak out a lot. So it was just like, it was so awesome.
It's great when you see them do things like that, because so we have a program that comes into our school called Reading Assist, and our kids who are like, you know, really struggling readers go into that group to, you know, foster those reading skills that they need to be successful. And one of the reading assist teachers comes to my room today. She was like, I just want to let you know that I let so-and-so go to the nurse because he got so excited that he spelled a word correctly that he literally like fell out of his chair and like hit his head on the table. Like he was that excited that he spelled a word right. And I'm like, this is why. This is like things like this. Like granted, sometimes they're out of control and they drive you crazy. But like this is why you do it. For times, you know, not when they bash their head and fall, you know, but for the times that the light bulb does go off and you see that you are making that connection within them. So
I 100% agree.
Yeah. So TJ Stoy 1, I'm a little nasally, so I'm sorry. Thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing.
Yeah.
You guys could actually understand it this week because I didn't play my daughter's recording.
You know, the fact that, like, because I always listen back to our episodes and I always text Ashley. I'm like, this we need to fix, blah, 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 and, you know, whatever. So Ashley edits our episodes, and because she edits them and she listens to them for over an hour editing, she doesn't listen to them once they're published because she's already listened to them like 3 times.
Yeah.
So I always go back and I listen, and I think when you clarify that she's singing our jingle, you can hear the rhythm.
Yeah.
At least, like, for me, when I listened to last week's, I was like, na 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 bing. So, like, I could hear it. I could hear it.
Yeah. When I sent it to my mom, she was like, the bing is what did it for me. She's like, I had no idea. She was like, that baby sounded so cute, but I have no idea what that baby was trying to say. And then I sent it to my sister, and she was like, what? I was like, what TTC jingle? She was like, not thank you so much for your review. And I was like, yes girl.
That's so cute. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I do have one for you today, guys. So we're going to jump into it, if that's okay.
Yeah, jump in. Jump
Let's
out.
Do it.
Turn yourself about. Ooh, yeah.
And do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around.
Hey.
I don't know what that was, but here we go.
Yep.
Sit down. Shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Ahora.
Disclaimer, Ashley and Brooke are just two teachers with opinions about true crimes, so they decided to make a podcast. Sit back, grab your load of teas, and let the crime lesson begin.
So I'm going to do a quick little overview before I jump into the case. This is something I don't normally do, but I thought I'd try it today. Zachary Davis had a deep history of mental illness, but no one who knew Zachary could have known he would have murder in his blood.
Damn.
Zachary was 15 years old when he bludgeoned his mother and attempted to burn his older brother alive.
Dang, not the older brother.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's our quick little synopsis, but let's get into it.
Okay, let's do it.
Melanie Davis was originally born in Australia and moved to the States, where she met and fell in love with Chris Davis. The couple had two sons. The first, Josh Davis, who was seemingly normal by all accounts. Josh played football, had girlfriends, and was well liked by his peers, according to classmates that participated in an ongoing Reddit thread. And yes, oh gosh, I got on it. Again. I did. This case led me to Reddit.
Dang, that's so it crazy. Did. The last one and now this one. Reddit. Sponsor us. I don't know.
Yeah, it's something. So, then there was Zachary Davis, the second born. He was born on July 27th, 1997, which is creepy because he, too, is a Leo, but I don't claim him.
Don't.
We're not claiming. Leos unite. We don't claim Zachary Davis. And he was a super quiet kid and often was swept under the cracks. If you're a teacher, you're probably picturing a face right now that probably matches some of Zachary's behaviors. Mm. Zachary had a current and ongoing history of mental illness. This all stemmed from and came about and started when Zachary's father, Chris, died of ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease in 2007.
What exactly is, I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't know the exact, like, what exactly is, like, Lou Gehrig's disease?
It's like, hold on, ALS, because I looked it up too, and it is the, like,
scoliosis?
Not scoliosis.
Oh, sclerosis.
Yeah, I can't pronounce that word.
Yeah.
It's like your nerve cells in the brain and the spinal cord, and it's a neurodegenerative disease.
Okay.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah. I mean, from what I've heard, like, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
Oh, okay.
So his dad passed away from that in 2007. At the time of Chris's death, Zachary was only 9 years old. And this is when his life and persona took a turn and not for the best.
Oh.
So Zachary was taken to see Dr. Bradley Freeman at the Vanderbilt University Medical Center after his father's passing. And the psychiatrist noted that Zachary did and was suffering from some kind of mental defect. And I mean, they all noted that, like, kids that go through losing a parent are going to suffer in some form.
100%.
I mean, and we talk about this, and Melanie was doing the right thing by getting Zachary the help that he needed after his father's passing.
Yes.
She was doing the right thing, and most parents do. They go to grief counselors, family counselors, and all of this. So they were all on the right track. But the psychiatrist did say that he was suffering from a mental defect, and this information came from Zachary's grandmother, Chris's mother, Gail Cron. Zach was claiming, so normal kids have some grief and they have some trauma and they might go through some depression, but Zach was claiming to hear voices in his head.
Ooh.
And he was officially diagnosed with schizophrenia and depressive disorder.
At what age?
9 to 10.
I thought you couldn't. I thought you couldn't diagnose someone with schizophrenia until they were a certain age.
I thought so too, but I'm guessing they just found a loophole, or maybe they did some, I don't know.
Okay.
Because the brain hasn't fully developed yet.
Yes.
Right. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. However, they diagnosed him with schizophrenia and depressive disorder. The signs for Zach, and this might be why, because the signs for Zach were literally textbook.
Okay.
For schizophrenia and depressive disorder.
I guess he because was, maybe it was that concrete that they were able mm-hmm. to say, like look.
Check boxes. Yeah. Like check, 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 check. Mm. Yeah. But Zach was becoming even more isolated than his typical normal isolation. And remember, he was already a
loner.
A loner to begin with, even when his father was alive.
Okay.
And now it's even more so now that his father has passed.
Okay.
Zach clearly indicated in one of his sessions at the Vanderbilt Medical Center that one of the voices he was hearing was that of his late father.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's rough.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. And depending on what he was saying to him was probably mm-hmm. even more terrifying, especially if it wasn't like encouraging things like, you got it, buddy. Like, you're going to be okay. Like,
push that would be this. I'm here for you.
You know what I mean? Like, that would be different. But if he's saying some like sus stuff, then are we going to find out what he was saying to him? Dang. Okay.
So Zach attended 4 sessions at the Vanderbilt Medical Facility under Dr. Freeman's care.
Okay.
Other professional psychologists did say that Zach's age range and his age group and the fact that he had lost a loved one did call spiraling depression, and this was normal behavior for someone who had lost a loved one.
Okay.
However, no one could have predicted or say what was about to happen was a normal behavior as a result of the death of a loved one. So, the depression is normal. The anxiety is normal. Lack of sleep is normal. Isolation is normal.
But murder is not.
Murder is not normal.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going with this? So they're like, check, this is a normal reaction to death of a father. Check, this is a normal reaction. Oh, wow, this is not a normal reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, I had to find my place. So Zach was in the process of healing his wounds. He was in therapy and was making progress through the first 2 phases of grief. So his psychologist and psychiatrist, they all said that he had gone through the numbness phase and the depression phase, and he was coming towards the recovery phase. Like, so he was going through all the phases. He was numb, he had no emotions, he was depressed, where he, again, I guess numbness and depression, because sometimes that is a symptom of depression, is just feeling numb. He was going through all the phases. He was checking more boxes through the healing process. He did not, however, make it all the way to the recovery and acceptance phase. And people speculate that this is because his mother, Melanie Davis, took Zach out of therapy only shortly after he had just gotten started.
I hate when parents do that. Is there a reason why? Are you going to find out why she took him out?
Well, not like a concrete reason, but we have talked about, I mean, what was the case that we did where this was literally the same thing, where he was in therapy and the dad was like, nope, you're done, we're good, he doesn't need you anymore.
Oh, I don't remember. But I do.
He killed his grandparents.
I do remember Tia Wimberly. They did that too, remember?
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, what is the purpose? Like, do you not want them to uncover something about your family and that's why you pull them out? Because, like, at the end of the day, if that's something that you're doing, then shame on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but there's also a client, you know, patient secret, like, not secrecy. I'm going to call it secrecy. Yeah. But there's, and they tell you.
Patient-client privilege.
Right. That's what I was looking for. But my therapist tells me in every session that I legally have to report anything that you say is about harming yourself.
Yes.
Or harming someone else.
Yeah.
And that's the only time that they have the legal rights to report what I have said in that session.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I walked in and was like, Ashley's this, 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 I hate her, blah, 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 blah. Whatever.
Well, dang.
Yeah, but they can't say, they can't go and tell you that.
Imagine like, hey, BT Dubs, she don't like you. That's not allowed. But if you're like, oh, I'm going to, because I've seen plenty of TikToks with it. Like POV, you told your therapist something and it's like someone getting into a cop car. Like because they're taking them to like a psych ward.
Right. Well, yeah. They have to.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they have to save themselves too. You know what I mean? If yes. they didn't report that and God forbid you happen to do something like that, they're liable.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And I mean, it's also though, you know, a lot of people, I speculate either one, which you said, your theory about therapists finding out things that maybe the parents want to remain
within
hidden.
The family.
Yeah. Or therapy is not cheap.
No.
So could it be that these families fall on some financial hardships and it's like, well, as we're going through the budget, let's cut Netflix, let's cut Hulu. Oh, yeah, yeah. Your therapy, let's cut that.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really know.
Yeah, it could be like either or.
So, you know, when I wrote this and we kind of just went through this, but parents do need to seek help for their kids. And I'm not blaming Melanie. I'm just kind of hoping to encourage parents to be the advocate for your kids that they need. Because 100%. A kid can't necessarily always speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And the reason this is all being brought up is because at trial, Zach's grandmother, the same one I mentioned earlier, admitted that she firmly believed that had Zach stayed in therapy and had time to heal along with proper medical attention, then, quote, this would not have happened.
I mean, I'm in full agreement as well. And who's to say? I mean, granted, I don't know motive, but is it possible that he was maybe upset with her for taking him out of therapy because he could see the benefits? And yeah. Maybe that could be a reason. I mean, I don't know because I don't know your case, but I feel like that could be a thing. You know, it was targeted at his mother and his brother. So who knows?
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And it could. I mean, the grandmother could have a point, but you can't blame Melanie for, she didn't know. I mean, you can't know.
Yeah.
But there can be signs.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have our coping mechanisms, and right or wrong, in the moment we think we're doing the right thing. And I think that's where Melanie felt that she was doing the right thing.
Uh-huh.
So instead of continuing Zach's treatment, this is the reason that he left therapy, Melanie felt it was best to move to Sumner County, Tennessee. So what happened was he was in therapy. They were living in the town where his dad had passed away and they all lived as a family. And Melanie's solution was, well, our family needs a fresh start. We need a new breath of fresh air. We're going to move as a family.
Okay. I mean, I could understand that. I could 100% yeah. understand that. Wanting to get away from get away from the traumatizing event that happened in your life uh-huh. with hopes that a fresh start will maybe further right. heal you.
Right. And I mean, too, it could be, you know, maybe there was a spot that her and Chris went and had dinners at all the time and just seeing that was too hard for her. Or maybe, you know, there was a park that he threw the football with Josh and that was just really hard. She thought ultimately she was doing the right thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think so as well. I mean, wanting to get a fresh start after something so traumatic has happened to your family, you would think that that would be, you know, a positive thing.
Right.
But you never know what his connection was to it. Maybe that's
correct.
The only thing he had left of his dad. You know
exactly.
what I mean? So it can go both ways.
It could. But again, she could not have known that.
No, not at all.
So Melanie, Zach's mother, packed up and off the family went. She was now a single mom working as a paralegal. She Ooh. Even found time to train as a triathlete. Could never.
No.
Don't
I can't
want
even,
to.
I can't even uno athlete. I don't know
yep.
how to say one athlete. Dose athlete. I don't know.
Yep.
I can't Mm-mm. do none of that.
No. They got to swim, bike, and run.
Yeah. I'm passing out after the swim.
I don't think I'm making the swim.
Because what's first? Is the run first or is the bike first? The swim's first.
Run is last. It's swim, bike, run.
Yeah. After the swim, I'm going to need a minute.
And especially if it's cold, nope.
Yeah.
No, no, no. Mm-mm. So she really was super mom. But, you know, again, we've said she just could not have known that Zach was already off of his rocker.
Yeah.
Melanie was doing the absolute best that she could, given the circumstances that life has now thrown at her. Zach and his brother attended Station Camp High School, and although he was always a loner even before his father died, he didn't change after the fact either.
I mean, I can imagine going to a brand new school. Like, at least, I mean, he was a loner beforehand, but, like, maybe you had some people who you, like, built a connection with,
mm-hmm.
and now you're in this brand new school, you know nobody, you're already a loner, so that further pushes you into lonerism. I just made that word up. I don't know if it's real.
Yeah. Well, there was one kid on Reddit that said that he felt like he, like, so... Melanie was friends with this kid's mom.
Okay.
So he knew Zach. They were not friends. But in his thread, he was like, well, I think personally I spoke to Zach more than anybody else in our school did. You know, he was never bullied or anything, but people just didn't talk to him. And he said that in one instance, he had invited Zach in class. I think they were like juniors in high school or something like that. I don't know. But he had invited Zach to log on to Minecraft and play a game with him during school hours. And okay. Zach goes, yeah, sure. And he never logged on.
Oh, wow.
So he was like a real outcast.
Yeah. Okay.
So Zach was now 15 years old, and he is seen as the weird kid among his friends. And he was just an outcast. And the kids said, and this all is coming from the Reddit thread that I found where a lot of his classmates were kind of chiming in. And they said that he wore the same hoodies every day, but he didn't necessarily smell. I think a lot of people associate wearing the same clothes every day with like just automatically smelling bad. Yeah. But the kids just said all that they noticed about him was that he wore the same hoodie every day, no matter the weather. And he would talk in loud or soft whispers. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he even had search history on his phone about serial killers and torture devices, along with a notebook that displayed some very dark entries. One said, you can't spell slaughter without laughter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was obsessed with Stephen King novels and enjoyed spending his alone time playing violent video games. Now, most of this, if separated, does not make you a killer.
No.
Stephen King is one of the most famous writers that exists, and many teenagers play video games with violence in them.
Yes.
This does not make everyone that reads a Stephen King novel a murderer and everyone that plays a violent video game a murderer.
100%.
Okay. But when you put all of these things together, you get Zachary Davis and you get an unraveling inner mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like one isolated event is okay, but all of these,
together.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. But it is worth noting that Zach, although weird and obsessed with dark things, was not a violent person. He had never had a violent encounter with a student, his brother, his mother, his father, or anyone else until the night of August 10th, 2012.
Okay.
On this particular night, the family attended the movies. So his mom, Josh, and Zach all went to the movies. And when they returned home, Zach went into his room, Josh went into his room, and his mother went into her room.
Okay.
And Zach began packing a backpack. He filled it with clothes, a toothbrush, a ski mask, gloves, and a claw hammer. It is unclear if his family saw him packing this bag or not. So, like, even though he's in his room, we don't know if, like, Josh walked in and saw him doing this. We don't know if Melanie maybe have seen saw him doing this, and they just were like, oh, he's gonna pack a
run
backpack.
Away.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we know if the experience at the movies was a positive one?
It was a positive experience.
Okay.
It was normal.
And do we know what movie they saw? Not that it matters.
They did say it, but I didn't write it down.
Okay. I was just curious.
I can't even remember it now. It's really, it was not, it was not one that I had heard of.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. But if they had seen him, like you said, Ashley, I wrote this down too. Like, they could have just chalked it up as, oh, he's going to run away, or he's going to go stay with a friend. Now, I don't know why you need a claw hammer to do that, but yeah. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird.
I mean, the list was pretty normal until you got to the claw hammer. I was like, are we building things? Like
Bob the Builder.
Like, I don't know.
Habitat for Humanity Project. Yeah, like, what's going on?
You're
going
to need more than a claw hammer, my friend. But yeah. Okay, cool.
However, none of that was actually the case. And that night, Melanie went to bed as normal around 9 p.m. Wow. As she slept, Zach went into the basement and grabbed the sledgehammer.
Oh.
He then proceeded to his mother's bedroom and bludgeoned her to death. It was reported that he struck her around 20 times while she laid in her bed.
Oh,
it was
my
also
goodness.
Noted, according to Zach, that she did wake up, but she never made she never said actual words because she had been hit a few times by the time she woke up, that she was actually just seizing when she woke up.
Oh my gosh.
When he left the room, he closed the door and entered the game room / family room.
Okay.
He doused the room in whiskey or some form of alcohol and gasoline and set it on fire. He then shut the door to that room and left the Tennessee home. Josh was still inside the home when this took place, and Zach had intended for the fire to set to the home and kill his brother. But because he shut the door to the room that he had set on fire, the fire was not spreading in the manner in which Zach had hoped. And Josh, Zach's older brother, woke up when the fire alarm went off in the home.
Yeah.
He immediately went to his mother's bedroom to let her know there was a fire in the home, and he found her dead in her own blood.
Oh. Not him going to do a good deed like, hey, Mom, like, gotta get out of here, and then finding her like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
When Josh fled the house, he went to his neighbor's home and called for help. Zach was then found, I think they said about 5 hours later, give or take 5 hours later, he was found 10 miles from the home, and he told authorities, quote, I didn't feel anything when I killed her.
Yeah. What?
Ashley's eyes were just bug-eyed, guys.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all literally went to the movies, probably had some popcorn, maybe some nachos. Yeah, okay.
Some candy,
a
some
nice
Skittles.
Little beverage. Had a great experience at the movies. Nothing abnormal. And then you come home, pack a bag, and then are just like, let me go get this sledgehammer. And you mm-hmm. kill your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then light your home on fire. And then when the cops find you, I didn't feel anything. What?
Yeah.
What did she do to you?
I cannot wait for your reaction when we get to this next. Okay. Anyways, when Zach was arrested, his confession was taped, and what he said was the scariest, most chilling video I've watched to date doing this podcast. He said that the voice of his dead father told him to kill his mother. This confession was later used in court, and what was really damning and very concerning was when the detective asked if he could go back in time, would he do it again? And Zach responded with, I would probably kill Josh with the sledgehammer too. So this is in the confession with the investigator. Like, he also says in like, I think one other interview, they're like, well, what would you have done different? And he says, again, I would have killed Josh first.
What?
Yeah.
But there has to, like, I get mental illness. Illness. Ew, why did I say that? I get mental illness. I understand that. But don't you think that if you hear your dead father, who loved your mother, loved mm-hmm. you, loved your brother, is telling you to do these not so kind things, that you would be like, no.
No, Papa.
I mean, mm-hmm. no one's telling you. Like, I understand he has a mental illness. I'm aware. But wouldn't you be like, but why?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
But it's also, I think an internal battle that Zach was not having with himself, because like you said, before Chris passed away, their family had no issues. Zach yeah. was not suffering from a mental illness at the time of his father's, at the time of his father being alive.
Yeah.
And his parents were not having marital issues. So had Chris not passed, like, would we even be here? Like, would something like this ever even have happened? Or would Zach's demons surface regardless?
You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking maybe this was a traumatic event that may have triggered it.
Yeah.
To possibly come out prematurely.
Yeah, possibly. Well, like I said, I'm about to show you something. You just hold your horses there.
Oh gosh.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Zach was 17 years old by the time trial had begun, and at trial, Randy Lucas, the defense attorney, asked Zach, "Did he," talking about his father, "tell you to do anything specific to your mother?" Zach said no, and he was stone cold in his response. At trial, Zach was shown many gruesome pictures of his mother, and he showed no emotion throughout the entire trial.
It's terrifying.
Zach was asked about why he chose the sledgehammer, and he said, quote, "I was worried that I'd miss," and added that it gave him the, quote, "highest chance of killing her." So let me explain the trial. The defense never once said that Zach didn't do it. Zach did not walk in that courtroom like we've seen in other trials and say that he was not guilty. Yeah. Zach went in saying, "I did this. I am guilty. He was taking
full ownership of what he did.
Correct. But because he was taking ownership, they were trying to bring to light his mental illness and hope for a lesser and lighter sentence because of his state of mind.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they were more so just trying to show, like, look, he's unhinged. Like, something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
and y'all are about to hear it, too. Okay. So two months before the trial, Zach went on the Dr. Phil show. Well, actually, Dr. Phil went to the jail and interviewed him.
Okay.
But he had not yet been convicted or gone to trial yet. And that interview was used at trial as evidence.
Oh, wow.
And during the Dr. Phil show, he asked Zach, quote, "Why did you kill her?" And Zach said, "She wasn't taking care of my family." He also brought up other reasons that he killed his mother. At one point, he claimed his brother had sexually assaulted him. And when he tried to tell his mother, she allegedly got angry with him and not Josh. He even said that his father told him to kill his mother because she was not loyal to him. These are all of the reasons that he gave when asked about his motive. So take a listen to this interview.
All right. So I'm going to go open the file that Brooke sent to me. Where is it? Link for episode. Here it goes.
And the reason we're recording this part is I want her live reaction on just his physical appearance.
Okay. Here I'm clicking it. I'm scared, child. Oh, God. Oh. Yeah. Oh, that. It was just
That's
like
a face
still.
You see in your nightmare.
Great. Fantastic. How am I going to sleep tonight?
Y'all, and of course, this is going to be in our show notes, but like the first image of what Ashley's seeing is just Zach.
It's terrifying. He literally looks. How can I describe it? He looks like someone who's like a junkie, but like, how do I want to put it? Like, he just looks very unwell.
Unwell. That's a great way to put it.
He looks very unwell. Like, mm-hmm. if I was to see him on the street and I was walking on the same side of the street, I would cross the street immediately.
100%.
Immediately.
But he looked like that. Except for, so he's more plump in the image that you're seeing. When he was 15, he was a little skinnier.
Yeah.
And I have a photo, and you guys can see it on the Instagram, of him in the interrogation room. And he's, like, wearing a blue shirt, and he's a lot skinnier. And then when you compare it to this, like, the stone cold facial expression in the one Ashley's looking at and the one that from when he was 15, they're identical. Like, he has never shown any remorse. So we're going to like pause it, and obviously we're going to let Ashley hear the audio that you guys are about to hear as well, and then we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Did you kill your mother?
Yeah.
You killed your mother. And why did you kill her?
She wasn't taking care of my family.
Meaning you and your brother?
Yeah.
Is that who you mean? Uh-huh. And so because she wasn't taking care of you and your family, you decided to kill her. Did you think about discussing it with her instead of killing her?
I didn't think it wouldn't do anything.
You thought it won't do any good to talk to her, so I'll just kill her. When did you decide to kill your mother?
I decided the day I did it.
And the method you chose was what?
Beating her to death.
And you beat her to death with what?
A sledgehammer.
And how many times did you hit her with the sledgehammer?
I don't remember.
About. Did you hit her once, or did you hit her 10 times or 100 times?
I'd say about 20 times.
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I just like sat here and watched Ashley watch it, and like every reaction, I had that same reaction. So like, I don't know if you all heard it because, you know, we can't put the entire thing on there, but please go listen to this when you do get a chance. It is linked below. But Zach laughed, literally laughed, when he was talking about how heavy the sledgehammer Seriously. Was. And he even laughed again when he was describing the sound the sledgehammer made when it struck his mother's head.
That is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to hear what his verdict was, because I really hope that he doesn't. Is he out? Is he going to come get me?
He ain't coming to get you.
Okay. All right. Because, child, that you need to lock him away and throw away the key. Like, just the little smirks and, like, how are you laughing about recounting your mother's death that you caused, bro?
But I will say that Dr. Feel, like, this is just a sidebar note. Dr. Feel, I mean, he didn't get subpoenaed or anything because everything's on tape.
Yeah.
But Dr. Feel says that he doesn't feel like Zach. He thinks that Zach is just a lost boy. That was his observation.
Okay, well, I don't
Me
think
and Dr. Phil disagree.
100%. And if he is a lost boy child, he ain't never going to be found, okay? Mm-mm. Because he is too far gone.
Because, please go, I mean, like I said, go watch the video for yourself. And maybe you do agree with Dr. Phil, but I just, body language, the things he was saying, the persona, everything like that.
His voice alone is terrifying.
Yeah. And
like,
I'm, yes.
If my child was to talk to me like that, like, we go on to voice lessons, baby. And it's not to sing, because we need to fix that. You're not going to speak to me like that. I'm sorry. That's mm-hmm. terrifying. Especially when you're telling a scary ass story that happens to be a real ass story.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. No.
Yep.
No, thank you, ma'am.
So, I mean, if you have listened to it or if you plan to, he does describe the sound as it was a wet thumping sound. So, as I mentioned earlier, he did hit his mother multiple times, and he was obviously asked about this, and he responded with, quote, "I wanted to make sure she was dead." So, about this interview, obviously this is public information, so that same Reddit thread that I mentioned earlier, like, it had, I want to say, like, over 183, like,
comments.
Yeah, but I don't think they're called comments on Reddit, because I'm not on Reddit, so yeah. I don't really know what they're called. I don't know. James knows a lot about that. But anyway,
replies or whatever.
Yeah, I think they're called that. So one classmate of Zach's wrote the following on the Reddit thread, kind of about this interview.
Okay.
And he said that the head bobbing, which if you go see the interview, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But basically, if you don't plan to go see the interview, he nods upwards. So like a normal person nods where they start with their head level and nods down and then up. So so Zach actually nods just like straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Yes.
So the classmate says that this head bobbing in the interview wasn't something that Zach did in school.
So he nodded normally.
Yeah, Zach was a strange kid, but the school had like this. So the kid that's writing all this, he says that the school had this like inclusion program. It was some special program. And no one really messed with Zach because they were kind of all used to like weird, strange kids walking around the building.
Yeah.
And he said that the head bobbing is something I never saw him do. And the Sling Blade voice is also something new. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Sling Blade.
No.
So Google Sling Blade real quick and look at the character in that movie and then look and then compare it to Josh, just like outward appearance. Okay. They sound like Zach. It is almost like Zach took on the persona of Sling Blade. It's a great movie if you ever get the chance to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good movie, though.
Oh, is it scurvy?
It's not scary. It's not scary.
It's a thriller.
It's not a thriller. It just shows that, you know, kids see the best in people.
Okay. I don't see the best in Zachary.
No. I don't either.
Okay.
So, but I compare it to the Sling Blade voice because if you do plan to go watch the movie, which actually I do recommend, you'll see what I'm talking about. But the kid that wrote this thread, he says that he personally believes that this was a put on to seem more intimidating to the general public. And he said, when I knew him, he only spoke in loud whispers as if trying to cover his voice. So this person also mentioned in the thread that they believed, although no teachers ever said it, that Zachary made most of his teachers feel very uncomfortable.
Ugh.
Which, I mean, I can't lie. I probably feel a little uncomfortable.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, I know that the persona that he perceived in this video isn't what he showed in school. But if... just him alone and the way that he stares, like, just so intently, like, would make make me very uncomfortable. Yes.
100%. So during the 4-day trial, there were some shockers, but for the most part, everyone knew that Zach committed this murder. However, that did not stop him from trying to blame it on his brother, Josh, at one point during the trial. Zach's defense team was completely caught off guard when he said this, completely taken aback, and was like, Judge, we kind of like need a minute because this was not prepared.
Yeah.
So Zach was going into trial basically to not plead not guilty, but not plead like guilty. And he was... like I said earlier, he was never denying up until this point on the stand that he did it. It was just more or less what was his mental state when he did it.
Yes.
So that's kind of where the defense was going with that. And they were trying to get a lighter sentence if they could prove that Zach was unstable at the time of the murder.
Mm-hmm.
However, Judge D. David Gay was not impressed by any of the defense or Zach himself. And he said, quote, "You became evil, Mr. Davis. You went to the dark side. It's that plain and simple."
Mm-hmm.
The members of the jury fought with their morals on this case. And I feel like that's completely understandable because we are, as teachers, I mean, and I don't know what the jury was made up of, but if there was anybody with a conscience on that jury, they can clearly see that this is not a well kid. Like, no. He is clearly unwell.
Yes.
But to what extent? You know what I mean? So I can completely understand where they kind of fought back and forth with their morals on this case. They knew that Zach had committed the murder, but it was also very evident that he was mentally unstable.
Yes.
So there was someone who, although Zach admitted everything, they had a different outlook at trial. Zach's grandmother, on his father's side, the one I mentioned earlier, sympathized with his mental illness and was angry about the lack of help that Zach had received for it. She said, quote, every teacher, every guidance counselor should have to stand trial with Zach. She added, quote, Zach is not a monster. He's a child who made a horrible mistake.
But also, he was never violent. So what were the teachers supposed to do?
So I kind of like added that in my notes. I was like, okay, so this woman's saying that everyone who encountered Zach should also be held accountable. And I disagree because along the path of a student, so during a student's school years from kindergarten through 12th, if they make it that far, mm-hmm. they will encounter good teachers, bad teachers, and great teachers. Like, you're guaranteed you're going to have a bad teacher in your journey somewhere. Yeah. And you're going to have those good teachers. But then you're going to also have those, like, great teachers. Mm-hmm. Okay? So 15 years old, this is 10th, 11th grade. So at this point, you've gone from kindergarten through 10th grade. And I'm just not convinced that not one of those teachers tried to help. You're just not going to convince me of that.
No, someone had to have gone to someone and said, hey. And then they were probably just like, all right, well, what are you seeing? But it probably wasn't enough.
And I think that's where a lot of people don't understand our job completely. Like, yes, we're mandated reporters. And yes, we do and go report these situations. But once we report them, they're out of our hands.
100%.
And so technically, we've done what we were supposed to do.
Yes.
I don't know what big dog and pony show people expect teachers to do in situations like this, but Zach's actions are not a reflection of his teachers and guidance counselors, because there is a protocol that teachers and guidance counselors and admin have to follow. And yeah. once it's left their desk, they don't have a say.
They don't. It's literally out of our hands, their hands. There's nothing we can do.
Right. So, and I mean, like I said, Zach was in therapy for a while after his father's passing, and his mother did try to get him help. But the grandmother believes that Melanie, the victim here, failed Zach, and because of that, she paid the price with her own life.
Oh, no. That's
literally what she said.
That's what we're not going to say. Because let's say that everything you're saying is true, right? Not even true. Let's think about this. What did you do?
Yeah. Where were you, Grandma?
So you saying all this stuff that everybody failed him. What did you do to help him?
Did you offer to take him and live with you?
Did you talk to his teachers about what you were concerned about? Did you talk to Melanie about what she was concerned about?
Or did you offer to pay for therapy?
Right? Or are you just pointing the finger to someone who can no longer speak for herself because her exactly. son brutally murdered her?
Exactly. So, and that was just a tidbit I wanted to throw in to kind of, you know, stir the pot, because Grandma's off her rocker if she thinks I was not about to step to the plate on that one.
Yeah.
Then there was Dr. Freeman, the doctor who had originally diagnosed him, testified at trial that Zach's, quote, judgment was driven by his psychosis, which I could see.
Okay.
And that there was no way he could have premeditated this murder due to his mental illness. So what they believe is that this was not a thought through murder. This was not planned weeks in advance. This was, he came home from the movies and some voice in his head said, go kill your mom. And he did it.
Yeah.
And they said that's a result of his diagnosed mental illness. All of these witnesses for the defense, though, did not change the minds of the judge and the jury members. Zach was sentenced to life in prison when a guilty verdict was turned over to the judge. The charges in which he was found guilty for were first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, and aggravated arson.
Okay.
In the state of Tennessee, a life sentence is a minimum of 60 years with the possibility of parole after 51 years is served. This means that Zach will be in his 60s when he could possibly be let out of prison.
Nope.
Zach is currently 25 years old.
Okay, so we got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Plenty of time. I do hope he's getting help while he's incarcerated.
100%.
I do hope they put him on some type of medication to maybe, you know, help his mind, because mm-hmm. that mind is very unwell.
Well, speaking of prison.
Oh, gosh.
While in prison, Zach claims that his hardest moments come at night when he can't sleep due to his father talking to him all hours of the night.
Nah, bro. No, thank you. No, thank you, man.
Imagine being his cellmate.
At this point, I would hope he was in by himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because who knows if he gonna snap on that inmate and do some crazy stuff to him, too. You know what I mean?
I mean, he's in there for quote unquote life. Well, who's to say that he cares? I mean, well, he doesn't care. He has shown zero emotion throughout this whole process.
And literally the only times that are your hardest in prison is at night when you can't sleep and your deceased father is talking to you. Not about what you have done, but because your deceased father is quote unquote talking to you at night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do want to circle back because I don't want to leave Josh's name tarnished in all of this. And if you recall, there were some accusations made by Zach about Josh.
Yes.
So it is to be noted that Josh denies all allegations of ever sexually assaulting Zach and was not even aware that Zach had made these accusations until the trial came about. Josh is now pretty hard to find on social media as he's gotten older, but that could be a good sign. So I don't actually know anything about Josh's current state. I've tried to look for him, but I can support the fact that he wants to be hard to find.
Okay.
And like I said, I hope that Josh is healing from the trauma and the cards that he was dealt. I hope that he has found some peace in all of this and is moving on.
I mean, it seems like he has. Just by the fact he's like, you know what? I want to live my life in secrecy and do what I need to do without everybody, you know, kind of magnifying, glassing me in a way. So I can understand that after everything he's been through. So well wishes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a lighter note, it is on a positive note. Josh Davis is a very, like, just kind of common name, I feel like. It's very two generic names, Josh and then Davis.
Yeah.
So I feel like there wouldn't be a whole lot of people out there that would make the connection and be like, aha, you're Josh Davis.
Man. Yeah.
Right.
So
I think that being incognito is something that is possible for Josh, and I hope that's what he wants and what he gets.
Yeah, I agree.
And that is the terrifying case of Zachary Davis.
Yep, I'm a hug my pillow a little tighter tonight because that interview alone, it was
shooketh
to the core.
Mm-hmm.
The chuckles alone were just very unsettling.
How Dr. Phil did that, I just don't know.
I would have left. I would have been like, you know what? I need to go get some holy water. I need to be cleansed. I need to be saged, and I need to go. And you need to go back to
taxi,
yourself.
Uber?
Yes. Lyft? A bus?
Something? Security?
Like, I'll just walk at this point. I need to clear my head. Like,
And Dr. Phil, let me tell you, he's like...
He's interviewed some...
Yelp.
Yeah. And it's been like a wide range from the like, catch me outside girl to like, Zachary. Like, what?
Yelp.
Yikes. On Takes on Bikes.
Yikes on Dogs on Bikes.
Yes, indeedy. Wow. Well, thank you for terrifying me.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy Monday, guys.
Not going into that and being like, happy Monday.
Yeah.
Hope your commute was a good one.
Don't watch this interview until you are in a safe space.
I mean, I'm in a safe space and I don't feel very safe. So, just don't watch it at all. Listen to the clip and just imagine the rest.
You know they're going to listen and watch it because we are morbid by nature.
Yeah, we're true crime people. We just got to know. We talked it up this much. They going to want to know. Again, it's like a car crash. You don't want to look, but you look. So y'all want to know. I'm just warning you. He is creepy as hell. I mean, as of you already seen his picture.
So drop a car. Because we're talking about car crash. Drop a car in the comment if you actually went and watched the interview and were shooketh to your core.
Yeah, because I'm going to be shooketh for the rest of the evening.
You're welcome.
I didn't say thank you, but I hear you.
Okay, guys.
Well, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
So we will see you next week. It'll be after Christmas. Are you on the nice list or the naughty list? Is Santa bringing you coal or bringing you everything that you have ever desired?
Preach, Ashley.
You know I'm trying to do God's work out here because, again, I'm shooketh to the core. So y'all have a good evening, and we'll see you next time.
Yep.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.